I want to reflect on the Riding the Wave report, and I want to put it in the context of some other activities that have been going on worldwide. So I will talk about e-science and fourth paradigm very briefly, but really I want to talk about the digital preservation issues, both for documents and for data. So data deluge, you've all seen this, and in the report there are many examples. These are just some of the latest focus on scientific data, and you've all seen this. And this is the fourth paradigm. It was Jim Gray, my colleague at Microsoft Research, who foresaw that instead of doing computing where you needed to know about algorithms, numerical methods, parallel computers, parallel programming, and so on, you needed a different set of skills for dealing with large amounts, hundreds of terabytes, petabytes of data, what the skills you needed to do that. And e-science was really the tools and technologies to support network-distributed data-intensive science, which is usually collaborative, usually multidisciplinary. I think the particle physicists were an exception in that respect. So fourth paradigm and e-science are in the background for me in talking about this subject. For example, we set up, in the e-science program, we set up the Data Curation Center. That was a joint activity of the e-science program and JISC, and that was a deliberate attempt to get both librarian community, the computer science community, and the scientists talking together, looking at the issues involved in each discipline. And each discipline would be different, and the decision as to what to preserve for posterity had to be made not by the librarians and the computer scientists, but the scientists themselves. So this is one of the relevant reports of the about the same time as the Riding the Wave. I was asked by NSF to co-chair a report on data and visualization. We didn't do much on visualization, but we did a lot on data. It was a bad mistake on my part. I should have known better as an academic, because I was asked. Dan Atkins has agreed to co-chair it, if you will. And they asked Dan Atkins, saying, Tony Hay has agreed to co-chair it, if you will. And so that's how I got to co-chair this, which was a lot of work. But it came up with rather similar results to the Riding the Wave. Instead of scenarios, we had some little, if you like, vignettes of examples. And this is one of the ones I like for a couple of reasons. One is here, historically, after a boating accident, the US Coast Guard relies on current chance and wind gauges to find out where they were. But there were scientists who were doing radar to measure ocean surface currents, and the US Coast Guard suddenly realized they could use that data, and it gave them a much more accurate way of finding where the survivors of the shipwreck or whatever was. So it was an unexpected, serendipitous use of data. But I particularly like this quote at the bottom from Professor Schofield. However, a large fraction of the data that the Rutgers team collects has to be thrown out because there's no room to store it and no support within existing research projects to better curate and manage the data. I can get funding to put equipment into the ocean, but not to analyze that data on the back end. And so that's indicative of the culture change that needs to happen in the funding agencies, that they need to recognize that there is a cost for doing this. Another example which I like is to me, it's a rather surprising one because it's the medical arena where you would expect all sorts of data privacy issues and so on and concerns about that. But this was actually getting four centers who were doing trials of looking for biomarkers for Alzheimer's disease. And these centers actually agreed to share their data. And that's a remarkable achievement. Not only that, is once they actually, the first people put up the data, then it actually became routine, and the others put their data up very rapidly. So typically within a week or so, the data was there. And furthermore, hundreds of scientists have made downloads from this site. Lots of papers have been written. Several dozen actually were not involved in taking the data. So this is an example where data sharing can accelerate the process of science. And I think we need more examples, and we need actually to try and quantify these if we're going to convince governments and funding agencies to pay for data. The principal recommendations of the report were in infrastructure, cultural, sociological changes, roles and responsibilities, economic value and sustainability, data management guidelines, and ethics, privacy and intellectual property. I'll just pick out two of those here. Infrastructure delivery, it's absolutely essential that people recognize that data infrastructure and services are a first-class citizen, if you like. They actually need to be funded appropriately, and the allocations of the budgets needs to include a component for that, and it has to be recognized that's part of the cost of doing the research. And if we're not going to get new money, then we have actually to convince them that the research they're doing is only valuable if we can reuse at least part of it, and if we don't have the metadata recorded and so on, then the data inevitably gets lost. The other one, which I think is important, and probably more important, is culture and sociological changes. You need to have a system of incentives and rewards for people who do the data, and excuse me. My son works for IBM. Okay, so we need to have new norms and practices which reward the people who do all this hard work to make it viable. We need to give them career paths and so on. And part of the problem, actually, is the conservatism and universities change at the speed of slightly faster than continental drift, right? So actually changing the culture in universities is a major issue. Digital preservation, right. Archives increasing rapidly. This is the Bush archive here, the Bush administration. It's now 50 times as large as the Clinton White House. It's in quaint formats, which actually people have to work very hard to go and retrieve. The Merlin format, I'd never heard of. Actually doing the work to reconstruct it into a modern format is a large part of the digital preservation problem. I would just like to highlight one of the personal digital archiving, because I think that's going to be a major issue for the consumer. Actually, the tools and technologies we develop need to be used by people to preserve their documents, and the cloud can clearly play a role. This is an advertisement for a book by a colleague of mine, Gordon Bell, called Total Recall, where he puts everything in his life digital, and he records the good things and the bad things, and I think you'll find some of this very stimulating. Whether you'll want to do the same thing, I rather doubt, but nonetheless, it's an interesting challenge. So, we need to save the valuable. We need to use the technologies and best practice to show that it's compatible, and we need not to have the digital rot that happens if we just leave it there. And there's a nice quote, estimated value of the digital documents that are produced in the EU and in danger of obsolescence of the order of 3 billion, 4 billion euros or whatever per year, all right? And that's a lot of money. So that's part of the issue that Microsoft has a responsibility, since it creates some of these digital documents, to try and see if we can give better tools to preserve them. And it's, of course, documents, it's data, it's software, all these things. And actually, if you save data in an Excel spreadsheet today, what I can guarantee that in 20 years' time, that spreadsheet software won't exist, nor will the operating system, nor will the hardware. So how do you save the sort of calculations behind the spreadsheet to make it useful? They're interesting issues and worthy of research. And this is Jill Mezeroff of the Broad Center in Harvard, MIT, is concerned about the fact that you need to make at least some of the science genuinely reproducible, so people know what data you've used, what you've done it, you've captured the provenance. They can actually go and pick up the data and say, well, I want to change these things slightly and run it with change parameters, but they need to know what you've done. And so capturing the provenance of the data in some sort of workflow, I think, will be important. And this was one of the reasons we invested in workflow technologies with Jill at the Broad. So what has Microsoft been doing in this, which is relevant to the report? Well, I think we should engage, because we actually produce some of these documents, and we have a responsibility to make it so people now, I think, want control of their documents, that they can actually read, not necessarily using Microsoft technologies, but using their own technologies. They need to have it under their control. We have a large research team. We have about 1,000 computer science researchers in Microsoft Research who research on a wide range of technologies, many of which are applicable to this preservation area. It's not an area that many computer scientists have actually up to now focused on, but I think it will become increasingly important. So these are some of the technologies that will be important. So we're seeing an evolution in documents. So this is from the create, print, and archive, where electronic was a temporary thing, the paper was the fundamental thing, and collaboration was face-to-face. We're now in a network world where the permanent copy is the digital copy, paper is the temporary copy, and collaboration is important. XML-based formats allow reusability, flexibility, and reuse again. And so these are some of the shifts in documents. And the Microsoft team, I think, has now recognized the need to do that. And so this is their view of how they're opening up Office to make it deliver formats which you can actually use and use whatever tool you like. So you can have it in open document format, open XML format, or HTML, and you can have there's an interface that you can actually write it to your own format. So the Chinese use a format called UOF, which is the Chinese version, if you like, of open XML or open document format. But you can use whatever you like in that space. And so making it more possible for people to interact and to do things with their own documents is, I think, an important part of the puzzle. We've heard a lot of talk about standards. I mean, there are a lot of standards out there, and these are just the ones that Microsoft Office have to support. So when people say standards, it sounds very easy. Yes, I absolutely believe in standards, but there are quite a few of them that we have to support. So standards is a little more complicated than is sometimes said. What has Microsoft been doing with the community? This is a blue ribbon report of the National Academy of Sciences, produced in February 2010, just before the riding the wave, about sustainability for digital preservation, basically. And so ensuring long-term access to digital information, we participated in this, and the report is actually still worth reading and makes some very valid points, again, echoing some of the points in riding the wave. We've also been involved with, in the UK, the British Library and the National Archive, but others around Europe, in the Planets Project, the EU Planets Project, which is applying it to the digital heritage that we've got. And there were headlines in the British press about the National Archives being worried about this digital black hole, they called it, because these old documents were going to be unreadable in the future. And so this was an attempt to make sure that didn't happen. And so these are the partners here. And what was happening, we were looking at all these different aspects, technology, economic, social, and legal aspects of preserving these documents. And the output of the report was basically you can go from a binary to an XML format, which you can then use whatever tool you like. You can go from WordPerfect, you can go to DOS, you can go to the binary format, and you can go to OpenXML, open document format, or if you're in China, you go to UOF. And so that was an attempt to try and get these documents into a form that they could last another 50 years, and you would have control, you could build tools of your own to manipulate them. And that discussion has moved on to a cloud service for archiving and preservation where you could convert old documents to these XML formats. We'll also participate in a number of projects and organizations connected with this. I'll just pick out DataCite. If you want to reward people for their data work, you need actually to give them credit and actually citing data and making sure they get credit, that they can have a career, they can get recognized for that, is extremely important. So DataCite is one attempt which is actually getting some momentum in order to give people credit for actually managing and preserving data. We're currently involved in SCAPE, and there's a talk tomorrow, so I won't go through it in detail. Microsoft Research is looking at some of the research issues, the properties of digital objects, how you can manipulate them, and how you can correlate measurements with perceptions, and that's going to use some sort of crowdsourcing. So there's some research aspects that we're involved in the SCAPE project, and you'll hear about that tomorrow. Supporting the data life cycle, we're responsible for producing some of it, so what we've been doing in Microsoft Research Connections is collaborating with universities' research to produce the tools that people want. And so one of the things that we're trying to do is data is central, and linking it to documents, linking the preservation of documents and data together is one of the themes of the riding the wave, and that's what we've been looking at. So in particular, this is one of the outcomes of the Driver project. It's a toolkit that you can play with for linking data interactions and annotating documents. This is one of the workflow tools we produced. There's another thing we produced, which is an add-in, and you can see that here. There's an add-in to PowerPoint, Word, or Excel. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons license. So if I'm going through these rather quickly, and if you'd like a copy of these slides, I've left a copy with David, a PDF, which you're welcome to have, and read at your leisure, and then email me if you disagree with it. So we're trying to make it available for people to do the sort of things you need to do preservation. This is with PubMed Central, the National Library of Medicine. They have a format they call the NLM DTD. It's a sort of schema. And again, this is actually giving them a plug-in to the Word document. So as you write your Word document, you can actually put it in the format for the National Library of Medicine. We're also looking with the California Digital Library and the Data One project on a data curation add-in for Microsoft Excel, looking at versioning, timestamps, data deposit and metadata, and so on. So again, I think some of these things are addressing these agendas. There may be other things we should be doing and which are more important, and those are things that you should certainly tell me about. One word that I thought was missing from riding the wave, as far as I could see, I could find no mention of the word semantic. Maybe John is allergic to it. I don't know. But I think semantics are going to be increasingly important in the future. And so let me say a few words about that. This is a view from the office team about how they see documents in the future. They see a move to the cloud. It adds some complexity to the interoperability and standardization. But basically the same issues. Where is it? How do I get it? Will I be able to get it in 10 years' time? And so on. But they also see that there will be a container, if you like, with multiple versions of that document, which are all carried together with the document, where you can have a docx file, you can have an ODT or a PDF or whatever. And all those things are versions of that document, which are part of that object. So that's how they see the future of documents emerging. We all know that computers are great at doing things like storing, managing, computing, and indexing data, but what increasingly, for example, in PubMed, the abstracts in the National Library of Medicine, about 2 abstracts a minute throughout the year are deposited. And I defy anybody to keep up with 2 papers a minute to understand what's relevant. So you need to have some help. You need to have semantic tools and technologies to help you do that. And we really need help with acquisition, aggregation, correlation, interpretation, discovery, organization, analysis, and inference. And that means you have to make the documents machine readable so that machines can actually make decisions on that, and that you have to give, therefore, some more data than just simple HTML, for example. And so one of the things I would like to highlight is as far as I know, it's probably the only project that we're doing with Google. This is a vocabulary to semantically annotate web pages. And this is a little vocabulary that Bing, Yahoo, and Google have agreed on, and hopefully it can be broadly adopted at some point. But basically, if I'm looking for Casablanca, for example, it will know whether this site, because it has a tag saying, that's Casablanca the movie, that's Casablanca the place. And if I'm looking for movies from my history of my searches, it'll direct me to the relevant site. And so it does that by adding micro formats, and it's encouraging people who do web pages to use these micro formats to tag up their web pages so the computers can understand what data that website is talking about, whether it's geography, whether it's movies, whether it's whatever. So I think that's going to be important in the future, and RDF is one. So I agree with Michael that the cloud is going to play an important role, and I think you'll have the future data infrastructure will have both client and cloud resources, and you'll have some tools on your desktop, but you'll also have tools up in the cloud that you will actually access and want to use for computing, for storage, for identity. Obviously, you have blogs and social networking, but I think you'll also want to keep copies, some data locally, multiple copies, keep stuff safe, and you'll also want to have some services that you keep on your own machines in your own institution. You may also have copies up in the cloud. So I think that's sort of the vision, and the vision of riding the wave is very similar to these other visions, with the exception, I think, of semantics. And I think that's an omission. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.